San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, September 29, 2019. Today's lesson, What Inspires You? Delivered by Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning. It is so wonderful to be here with you. Now, I would like to anchor us in a truth that we know to the very depths of our being. And I say this every Sunday because it is the very core of who we are. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. We live and move and have our being within the divine because we are made up of all of that which is God stuff. So, welcome this morning, all of you containers of God stuff. We've been talking about inspiration during the month of September, and this is our final Sunday. So normally I would say I'm going to wrap it up, but you just can't wrap up inspiration. It never ends. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop focusing on specific topics of inspiration, even though inspiration shows up in every talk. It shows up in every topic. It shows up everywhere. And there's a reason for that. I'd like to start with something that Ernest Holmes has said. And this is in the Science of Mind textbook. Ernest Holmes is the author of the Science of Mind textbook and the founder of Religious Science Movement. This is on page 157, and it's under the heading of Vitalizing Faith. You're probably thinking, what does faith have to do with inspiration? It's the same thing. Faith and inspiration are the same thing. Ernest Holmes says, in order to have faith, we must have a conviction that all is well. In order to keep faith, we must allow nothing to enter our thought which will weaken this conviction. Faith is built up from the belief, acceptance, and trust. Whenever anything enters our thought which destroys in any degree one of these attitudes, to that extent, faith is weakened. He goes on to say, when we use our creative imagination in strong faith, it will create for us out of the one substance whatever we have formed in thought. In this way, man becomes a co-creator with God. There will never be an end to any of the eternal verities like truth, love, or beauty. There will never be an end to God, nor to any of the attributes which are co-eternal and co-existent with God. If we are wise, we shall cultivate a faith in these realities. This is not a difficult task, but a thrilling experience. Spiritual substance is all around us, waiting to be formed. Thus, we see what Jesus meant when he said, quote, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you, end quote. The law must work in compliance with our demand. The divine urge within us is God's way of letting us know that we should push forward and take that which is awaiting our demand. If the good were not already ours in the invisible supply, it would be impossible for us to procure it in any manner. He openeth his hand and satisfieth the desire of every living creature. So basically, the Bible and Ernest Holmes are telling us that if this good were not already ours, we couldn't get it in any way at all. It's already ours, so all we have to do is open up to receive it, accept it, know that whatever we desire, whatever we have been inspired to be or to do, this is already a gift that is ours. And we use our creative imagination in strong faith, co-creating. How many of you have heard the word co-creation before? Okay, so co-creation is where we are consciously working with the divine, because we know that the divine is infinite and eternal, and it is doing all the work. We are simply knowing that it's true. We are believing that which is, that we know to be the truth. And therefore, in that conscious belief, in that conscious statement, we are co-creating, because we are an individualized center point of the divine. So whatever it is that I want, I am working within the law, the spiritual law. And as soon as I say, this is what I desire, the universe says what? It says, yes. The universe says, yes. So whatever it is I desire, as long as it hurts no one, the universe says yes. Whatever it is that you desire, as long as it hurts no one, as soon as you desire it, the universe says yes. Yes, it is yours. It is yours. Ask in faith, believing, and it is done unto you. So everything that you are inspired to ask for, inspired to name and claim, is already yours. And so we have to wonder, what is it that we desire? What is it that we desire? I subscribe to the Divine Science Daily Notices, you know, like the Daily Word or like the Science of Mind Daily Enrichment things. And they had one recently that I really liked, so I'm going to share that with you. What is the first step in accomplishing your heart's desires? Frustration, despair, and worry are not the answers. They merely delay the good that is in store for us. Yes, the first step in demonstrating our wishes is to see it already done in our mind. If you wish to do something, you can either see yourself unable to do it or know that with the help of God, you can. To accomplish this, you must envision yourself completing the desired activity easily and without straining or striving of any kind, and then it will be done. You must believe in yourself and not sell yourself short at any time. You are a child of God, and God created you whole and perfect, giving you the power of choice. Choose a life of peace, harmony, and love each day, and see how much brighter and happier the day seems to you. When you use the power and wisdom of God daily, your accomplishments will certainly be unlimited and never-ending. Unlimited and never-ending. It'll be a thrilling experience. So I have a question for you today. Are you grateful for everything that you have? Yes or yes? Okay, so please, if you're in alignment with this, place your hand over your heart and affirm with me. Today, I thank God for the good that is mine. In this very moment. And so it is. So you have just made a claim. You have just affirmed your gratitude for everything that is good in your life. Everything that you recognize that is good. And everything that you're recognizing that is good is something that inspires you. Did you realize that? You are inspired by things that are divine creation already. You are inspired by beauty. You are inspired by all good. You are inspired by love. Think of a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset. They come every single day. Do we wake up every morning to see the sunrise and say, wow, that's beautiful. I'm so grateful to be able to see it. Do we make ourselves available at the sunset each day to look at it and say, wow, that's beautiful. I'm so grateful I'm here to see it. Most people don't. Most people don't. We take for granted the things that truly inspire us. And so when we see a photograph or a painting of a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, we stop and we can be in awe of the beauty, the magnificence of the divine nature of Earth, of the universe, of all. We hear music, real music, like with real instruments, like a symphony. Not a digitized range and scale of notes. Now, why do I call that difference? Why do I call one music and the other digitized? Because music is an aural experience, aural hearing. And it is created by things of nature. Now, yes, we have created electric guitars, we have created synthesizers, and what they are doing, think of it, synthesize is taking a sound and trying to make it like a sound from a real instrument. A violin is made of wood. And when you hear the sound of a violin, you're hearing a resonance. You're hearing a vibration, a real vibration. The bow with the horsehair draws across the string. The horsehair is vibrating. The string is vibrating. That resonates within the body of the violin with the string, and it creates sound. It creates a natural sound. And our electronics work to simulate that sound. And they do a very good job. But they aren't making the vibration. So if you're sitting in a room and there are natural instruments, strings, drums, air blowing through an actual horn, the vibration of the air going through the horn, all of these things, there is within that room a vibration, an energy all its own that we don't receive listening to a CD. So why is that important? Because these are the things that we are grateful for all the time. And our heart is grateful, even if we are not consciously focusing on being grateful. And why do we want to do that? Because we know through these teachings that everything we give our attention to, everything we are grateful for, increases in our lives. I am so happy that I have this And the universe says, yes, let's give more. I am so joyful that I saw this beautiful sunrise. Yes, let's wake her up more often at sunrise. So, you know, it's what we are grateful for increases. What we resist also increases. Because we are fighting against it. And in that fight, we are giving it energy and it grows. We can focus on those things that we don't like. And they will take on massive dimensions in our mind. They don't get any bigger of their own. They get bigger in our mind. They become more of a challenge in our mind. And so if we see something that we are not grateful for, here's the hard part of this teaching. Be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. Be thankful that it's small. And look to your own heart, your own soul, your own inner knowing as to what is the other side of that. If I am sad, what is the other side? Happy. If I'm sad, I'm feeling less than, I'm feeling separate. If I'm happy, I'm feeling a part of, I'm feeling union. And so we are always grateful for that which inspires us because it's good. It's good. We are not inspired by horrible things. We are repelled. They repel us. And so we look to that which is good. I want to share a story with you. It's in Wake Up, Live the Life You Love in Spirit. It was compiled by Stephen and Lee Beard. And what they did was they went out and they got a bunch of people, famous people, leaders, to say, live the life you love. What is something that is the way of living the life you love? Well, there's a story in here called Live an Inspired Life, and it's by Michael O'Rourke. Now, I didn't know who he was, so I don't expect you to know who he was. But he was a CEO of a beauty care company, and he was a hairdresser for over 40 years. And he would get this question over and over and over. What makes a woman so beautiful? And he never gave it any thought. And then they said, write an article for this thing. And answer, what makes her so beautiful? So he did. And he said he was asked that question at least 10,000 times in his life, but he never gave it any thought. He writes, so here's the answer. The beauty secret of the most beautiful women on the planet is that they live an inspired life. That's it. The allure these women possess is magnetic. Their eyes mesmerize. Their smile seems to open heaven. You can study their features and fixate on their every move, yet their beauty is undefined. It's inexplicable. You can't put your finger on it, but you know it's something. Well, it's something, all right, and that something is spirit. These beauties are living an inspired life. The word inspiration is derived from the Latin root spirare, meaning spirit, to breathe, to give life, the breath of God. Is it any wonder these women are so attractive? They are formed from the breath of God. So why are they the chosen ones, you might ask? Because they choose to be the chosen ones. They choose to be the chosen ones. And he says, if you want to make the leap from tired to inspired, then it will take focus. It will take courage, creativity, and commitment. This is what I really like. Each morning when you awake, Make it your mission to allow life to inspire you. Make it your mission to allow life to inspire you. Let the beauty of the sunrise astound you. Drink in every color until you can't take in any more. Allow the crisp morning air to brush away any sorrow as it brushes up against your skin. Breathe in every lush fragrance from every flower and release any toxin holding you back. Let the sound of laughter drown out the noise of your... of your tired, aching joints. Sorry, I missed a line. Find something magical in every moment you observe and let your passions lead you. Learn to listen to the voice of spontaneity and live your life as you want to be remembered. Living an inspired life transcends every external motivation. It's not motivation. It's inspiration. And so you will be doing great things because you are inspired. You are inspired by spirit. So all of these beautiful, wonderful things, they are inspiring us to remember that we are a part of the divine. We are God in this moment. We are the divine spirit in action. We are that which God is. It's been said many times that if you take a drop of water from the ocean, it's still the ocean. It's not as vast. It doesn't have as many fish and plants and animals living in it, but it's still the very essence of the ocean. That's what we are. We are individualized drops of this vast ocean of the divine. And all of us together make up the ocean and have the same thing in us as each other. Now, because we're individualized, we may have different paths. One of us may be sort of down in the middle of the ocean. One may be at the ocean floor, swirling around a rock. One of us may be at the top getting evaporated so that we can then rain and become part of the ocean again. But still, there is that which is within us, that which is within us, that is all that we are, that we are inspired to be here. There are many reasons, they say, that souls come to Earth. But they're not forced. We choose to come to this planet. From the energy that we are before our birth, we move into this body as we are born. We move out of this body when it no longer functions. But we are still us. And so we chose to be here now. Whatever inspired you to be here this morning, that's divine. That's a divine inspiration. Something within you knew that this was your place to be today. And so here you are. I love Ernest Holmes. And, you know, some Sundays I have a lot to read from his book, and other Sundays is just a little tiny quote. Emily Cady said, God is the very fountain of life abiding within us. The very fountain of life. Water is a common analogy for spirit for many reasons. The giver of life, water. But on page 477 in the Science of Mind textbook, there's a section called The Three Planes of Life. Ernest Holmes says, man is a threefold principle of life and action. He is spirit, soul, and body. From the spirit, he receives inspiration and guidance. In the soul, he finds a perfect law of life. And through the body, he proves that he is a real individualization of the invisible principle. Man's mind should swing from inspiration to action, from contemplation to accomplishment, from prayer to performance. This would be a well-balanced existence. Spirit fires the soul with energy and understanding. The soul, which is the subjective mentality, vitalizes the body and animates all that we do. No greater mistake could be made than to think we must separate life from what it does. No greater mistake could be made than to think we must separate life from what it does. Ernest says we must unify and not divide. The spirit must go forth into creation through law and action. Life must enter living, and God must flow through man if there is to be a real representation of the divine through the human. And finally, he says, let us feel that our purposes are animated and inspired from on high. And then let us go forth and make our dream come true in the human experience. With an invisible intelligence to guide and an immutable law to direct, let us take our place in any legitimate activity and thus cause our dreams to come to full fruition. So let us feel that our purposes are animated and inspired from on high. And then let us go forth and make our dreams come true in our human experience. That which we are inspired to be, that which we are inspired to do, that inner calling, that creative urge that is inspiring us now. This is our dream. And our dreams become reality as we move through the principles of the divine creative process. As we know beyond knowing that all that is within us is creating that which we are experiencing, and therefore all good is ours to receive. All good is ours to receive. So what inspires you? What is it that moves within you and gives you a thrilling, joyful, uplifting, effervescent experience? This is the divine speaking in, as, and through you to be that which it is, that which it always has been, and that which is yours to be. And so I give thanks for your presence here today. I give thanks for the beauty that is the all good. And I give thanks for the words that move and inspire all of us. I know that everything that needed to be heard has been heard. Everything that needed to be said has been said. And all has occurred with love, with joy, with oneness, as divine inspiration. And so it is. Thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.